Hello, I'm Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com, bringing you a Floydcast number 64 for May 4, 2015. Just a quick update. Shanika Torres, this was the lady that wanted bacon with her burger and didn't get it and started shooting up the place with a gun. I have a little bit more detail about the story. She rode to the restaurant with a friend to pick up a free replacement meal, so there was already an earlier issue of some kind. She had complained earlier that there was no bacon. Staff offered to make it good with a free meal. When she discovered the same mistake had been repeated a second time, she said, "You don't know who you're talking to," and then fired the gun. The defense attorney told the jury the charges resulted from a misunderstanding, and Torres wasn't mad about the bacon. Quote, "Stupid? Yes. Mistake? Yes. Accident? Yes. Intentional? No," the lawyer said. She says she pulled the trigger, but she did not pull it on purpose. Well, they speak to intent. When you're in a legal situation, they want to cover intent because that really directly relates to the punishment. When you do something on purpose, you get punished more, and you should get punished more than when it's an accident, right? That's why there's murder charges and then there's manslaughter charges. Manslaughter implies maybe it wasn't premeditated or, you know, you didn't set out to murder someone, but you hit them with your car or something and they died. That's manslaughter. Unless her conviction is overturned, she was convicted and she must spend a minimum of 2 years in prison. It will be up to the Michigan Department of Corrections to figure out whether and how to impose and enforce the McDonald's ban once she's released. They banned her from their stores. Torres said Tuesday she was sorry and wishes she could have a do-over. But, quote, "it's over and done with," she said, according to MLive.com. You know, total crazy. Her name was 729-235-955. There wasn't a single balance number anywhere. There wasn't one single number anywhere you would want in your name. 5-ish, 5-destiny, that's the violence and the gun. But also the fantasy world. The first name, 729, this person lives in a fantasy world. They're not really on this earth. That's what the 7 does. The 7 makes you so sensitive that you then have to protect yourself artificially from the hostility of life. And so you live in a fantasy world. Issues of the week. They had fun in Baltimore this past week. One story got upset because supposedly they were blaming veterans. Some stories supposedly blame veterans. Oh, I've even got the link. CNN reporter blames veterans for Baltimore riots. "I love our nation's veterans, but some of them are coming back from war. They don't know the communities and they are ready to do battle." This reporter at CNN is called Brooke Baldwin. Brooke 843, Baldwin 112, total 955. Well, the same as the Shanika Torres total. If you look at this Brooke Baldwin's name, it's all mouthy opinion numbers, very little depth. If you want very little depth these days, you can certainly find it in the media. Well, what's going on in Baltimore? Why are they having all these riots? Well, it has nothing to do with the cops and their treatment of citizens. Nothing at all. That stuff happens all the time. Cops, in some cases, make mistakes. In some cases, they didn't or don't. That's routine. We get to thank the media for every single thing that happened last week in Baltimore. And funny thing, the media doesn't take credit. They should take credit. They should be like, "We caused this. You can thank us for the fact that you're breathing tear gas right now. For the fact there's so much hate. We've created the hate." Imagine being in the business of creating hate. That is what the media is. That's one of their main goals, to create hate. Just think of the mentality of the people at the heart of the media companies to want that. They require it. If you create love, you create understanding, then people learn. And when people learn, they don't do the same thing twice. And they tell other people the things they've learned, and life gets better. That's the last thing they want. That would be a crisis for the media if people learn from things. There were some passages this last week. Suzanne Crew of the Partridge Family died at age 52. She played the youngest Partridge Family daughter from 1970 to 1974. I got to be showing my age when the youngest person on the Partridge Family has now passed away, you know, at the end of their life. Now, this person died at age 52. To me, that's too young, and therefore it pays to look at their name combinations and try and get some sense, why did they die too young? What was the weakness in the name? So Suzanne is 911. Crew, CROUGH, 999. 911 Total One Destiny. Well, seeing as I haven't heard this person's name before, and they played an insignificant part of a show 40 years ago, and they have a one destiny, I'm thinking they weren't that rich. I'm thinking they weren't that big a deal. So that makes life a little hard. When you're typecast, everyone looks at you a certain way, but you didn't make all that much money from it. That's a difficulty right there. 999 last name, that's a tragedies and losses name. What about her cycle? Well, she's born March 6, 1963. 2015 is a 9 cycle. 6 months, 63 day. The latter half of a 3-day expected disappointment. Again, the more of that 9, she had 4 9s out of 6 positions in her name. The 9 is, it's a sensitive number. It's an overly sensitive number, and it's very hard for the 9 to be even-keeled. I'm sure any kind of study of her life would show that she had trouble being even-keeled. Although, she was very one-ish, and the one is even-keeled in the sense that they lived the simple life. And that's probably something that could also be said about her, is that she lived a simple life. Still, it's somewhat sad. It's sad to pass away at 52. That's just too young, and it's a shock to the next generations. Okay, I got a related story. Andrew Lesney, I guess he was the cinematographer for Lord of the Rings. He passed away this last week at age 59. He had a 40-year career still, even though he's 59. That's not easy. He also worked on the Hobbit films. Well, let's have a look at his name. Andrew, 652. Lesney, 191. 753 total. Well, interesting that both these people had quite a lot of the one quality. The one quality will cause headaches, for example, extreme headaches, migraine headaches, problems with the senses of the head. I can imagine when these two people had a cold, they had an intense sinus cold. So that last name with all that one around, very unhealthy and unbalanced. And the total of his two names, 753, the 7 is that heart attack number, and he did pass away of a heart attack. Not given his full birthday, just the year of birth, and so can't work out his cycles, etc. Next story. Nurse dies falling from hoist while rescuing woman. A nurse died after falling from a hoist on a medical helicopter while rescuing a woman from a hiking trail in Austin. How do you do that? If you're on a hoist in a medical helicopter, you're strapped in. So how do you fall? That in itself is quite hard to understand. Kristen McLean, age 46, became detached from the hoist as the rescued hiker was lifted to the helicopter from Barton Creek Greenbelt, where she had taken a fall. She died at the scene. I can imagine, you know, you fall from a helicopter, it's going to be bad. What about her name? Kristen, 911. Last name, McLean, 167. 178 total. Well, you know, it's a solid name, but 3 different one qualities again. When you injure yourself and you have the one quality around, the senses of the head, the extremities get it. I imagine she took a strike to the head. Next story. Daughters granted wish to have a special dance with their dying father. Well, the media loves these kind of stories, don't they? This was on today.com. You know, it's perfect media sleaze here. Everyone wants to read the story. Oh, the last moments. It's all emotion. There's no intelligence, and there's certainly no learning from the story. One quote from the story. When Charlie Quintus decided to stop treatment after years of battling a brain tumor, the father of two knew he wanted quality days with his family over quantity. What was his name? Charlie652 Quintus. 865 for a 527 total. An accident looking for a place to happen. Well, he got a brain tumor, right? That's a cell phone tumor. Charlie652, he'd like to talk a lot. That accident looking for a place to happen is going to attract more than their share of bad things. But let's give a shout out to the media for media sleaze. Next story, Bumblebee charged in death of worker cooked with tuna. This is a bit horrific. Bumblebee Foods and two managers were charged with violating safety regulations. I guess this guy, Jose Molina, was performing maintenance in a 35-foot-long oven. That's longer than a house. On October 11, 2012, when a co-worker, who mistakenly thought he was in the bathroom, filled the pressure cooker with 6 tons of tuna and turned it on. Let's look at the names involved. Jose Molina was the person who passed away in the oven. Jose, 224. Not at all constructive, dependent on others. Molina, 235. Same story, 235, not at all constructive, and their fate is tied to that of others. 459 total, 9 destiny, very discordant total, hardworking. and the nine destiny, the losses. This person, again, didn't have a single good number in their name. I guess the plant operations director was Angel Rodriguez, and the safety manager was Saul Flores. Angel 663, Rodriguez 516, 279, total 9 destiny. And then the safety manager, Saul Flores, Saul 448, Flores 281, and a 639, total 9 destiny. Every one of the people involved in the story had a 9 destiny. This is a true tragedy, and all three had the tragedy destiny. Next story. Can we trust drug companies? This is from Wired. The future of healthcare may depend on it. Well, this is more Wired garbage. When they ask a question like that, they're going to try and convince you, yes, you can trust them. You got to be careful, but you can trust them. Well, it's garbage aimed at us, the 99% that they're trying to get rid of. We have never been able to trust drug companies. And things are many times worse today than they were in the past. If you want to be healthy, avoid drugs, period. Thanks, Wired, for nothing. Next story, Utah teacher facing new sex charges. Prosecutors say a 35-year-old former Utah teacher facing rape and sexual abuse charges had sex with another underage student. New evidentiary hearing in the case of Brianne Altus, who prosecutors now say had a third teenage victim. The South Weber woman is now facing 10 charges. What's her name? Brianne, B-R-I-A-N-N-E, 639, Altus. 685, 325, total 5 destiny. Well, a lot of 5 there. And the 325 total, that's a very emotional, impulsive total. You know, all those 5s, the 5 tends to... This is a little bit reversed. The 5 usually wants to hang around with people older than them. And here she is hanging around with those younger than her. Again, the 9 is there. I've noticed with 9-ish people, they can break. Where I say the 2 can snap, the 9 can break. Other than the 5 destiny of this person, the 5 wants a different experience. They want something different. You can sum her up with the 5 destiny, and I think that's the operative quality in this case. Wanting a new experience, a different experience. And once the 5 wants something like that, they're not to be put off. The 5 is a quality that does things to extreme. There she is doing it with 3 different people. It wasn't enough to do it once. Next story, friends of murdered Indiana University students say she last visited the same bar as woman missing in 2011. I think this is a follow-up on the Daniel Messel character that I talked about last week. More details, just trying to scan. I think this is to do with the person Wilson passed away. They found a cell phone near Wilson's feet. It turned out to be Messel's cell phone. The dad of Messel, Gerald Messel, told the media he was surprised that Daniel didn't come home Thursday evening after regularly a night out playing trivia at bars in Bloomington. You know, if you're playing trivia at bars, like, where do you get the money for bars these days? That in itself, I just don't really follow. The man who raised the suspect said his stepson spoke of knowing a girl named Hannah in the weeks leading up to Wilson's death. Daniel Messel was arrested while leaving the home with a bundle of clothes under his arm. And he also was found to have claw marks on his forearms. The Indy Star said Daniel Messel had a violent past. He was sent to prison for 8 years after an arrest for battery in 1996. That's 20 years ago. And then he had a 1991 arrest for assaulting a girlfriend and a 1989 arrest for assaulting his grandmother and breaking her nose. He also had a 2006 conviction for disorderly conduct. Messel, 191. Dan, 191. 292 total. Horrific, man. And this guy was huge. Maybe they have enough to put him away for life now? We don't seem to learn, do we? We certainly don't give consequences that are enough to get people to change their behavior. Next story, also from this past week. Dan Friedenberg, this was a Google executive. He passed away at base camp on Everest. This massive earthquake and slide that has killed now at least 3,000 Tibetans. But also people visiting that country, and a number, I think 3 people so far, according to this story, were killed at Everest Base Camp. You know, the names don't particularly stand out in the other 2 people's case. They had 7 quality rounds, so that's the kind of person you'd expect to be out in nature kind of thing. With Dan Friedenberg, I had more information. I had his cycle and his names. Friedenberg is 865, so Dan 191 first name, 865 966 total. So he had a good destiny. He had outdoor numbers with the Dan. You know, that would be a very physically vital person. I can imagine him scaling mountains and a five-ish last name, being very driven, get out in nature and conquer the mountain kind of thing. His birthday number's 9-8. I'm looking, but I don't see the... I know his cycle anyway. He was in an 8-cycle year, and in April, he was in a 5-4 month. The 4 is test. The 5 is travel, change, new experiences. This isn't a month when you go to Tibet, when you go to Everest, if you know the cycles. In the stories, they all said Dan Friedenberg, but really, he's born Daniel Paul Friedenberg. 9-1-1 total, one destiny. What do we say? One destiny. Something hard and physical happens to you. Well, a large chunk of mountain hit this guy and killed him. Something lighter. George W. Bush has taken up painting, and he has some tips for aspiring painters. Never paint your wife or your mother. Apparently, neither woman was especially pleased with their portrayal, he said in an interview on CNN's State of the Union. He's also painted one of his daughters, but she didn't like the painting, so I just scrapped it. I may have saved it, although they probably think I destroyed it. Don't tell anybody, he told the host. He said he did paint his mother's dogs, and it was fun to paint something for somebody you care about. He also painted a garden scene and some other things, and said his mother likes it and appreciates it. Painting his father, on the other hand, he described as nice. Mr. Bush says he enjoys the sense of purpose he gets from the newfound hobby. I'm driven to be as good as I can be, you know, and I'm a task-oriented person, and every painting is a task, in a sense. I get excitement out of painting because I'm beginning to learn. When I first started painting, I was like, you know, trying to be like a Polaroid camera. I'm learning and how to work colors to get a different feel. I don't drink anymore. I guess if I were a drinker, I'd be there at night drinking away. But now I'm painting away. Well, be honest. What was your reaction when I started reading a story about George W. Bush? How receptive were you to it? The media wants to pigeonhole us and make us react. And they won't blast us with stories and people until we get sick of them, until we have a reaction to them. That's what the media does. Politics is worthless. It's a shell game. It's a con game. It's meaningless who's the president, who's the opposition. It's meaningless. Who's the sucker? Well, the sucker doesn't need a name. They're just the current sucker, and now, oh look, there's a new sucker. You know, life is full of people, and they have human qualities. I've run into people at times who can't say a single good thing about someone from the other political party. I've actually run into that quite a few times, and usually these people who couldn't say a good thing about another human being, usually they were Democrats. I'm apolitical. I wouldn't waste my time having a political side. I think the Republican-Democrat divide is meaningless and arbitrary and artificial and manipulated. In general, I am both a Republican and a Democrat. I'm in favor of people being in charge of their own life, which is more Republican-like. But I'm also humanitarian and caring about people, which is more Democrat-like. But the notion of voting and choosing a party and having a party for life, what a foolish thing. So imagine George W. Bush, the painter, and cut him some slack. Enjoy his humanity, period. No conditions, no added commentary. Just enjoy him, the person. It'll be good for you. Speaking of a very human person, Texas A&M Galveston professor fails entire class. Erwin Horowitz, a Texas A&M Galveston professor, has failed every student in his strategic management class, berating them via email as a disgrace to the school, and saying he'll no longer teach the class. In the email, he said he'd reached the breaking point. Well, we know that number, right? That's the 2, right? Let's see, does he have the 2? And for that matter, the 9, right? The 2 snaps and the 9 breaks. Let's see, does he have 2 or 9? Erwin, 911. Horowitz, 652. Well, yes, he has both. 663 total, 3 destiny. You know, interesting, the 3 is a very expressive number. If you had a different quality, let's say you had a 7 quality, you know, you would snap in private. With some other number, you know, you might be bothered and miffed, but you sure as heck wouldn't write an email about it. Well, when you got the 3 destiny, out it comes. Everyone knows where you stand with the 3 destiny. It's all on the surface. I'm thinking this is one email he'd like to have back. Hang on, Pete's. Next story. Crazy on him. Hearts Ann Wilson marries man she tried to seduce 30 years ago. Another Today.com story. You can see I get quality stories from the internet. Several decades ago, Hearts Ann Wilson tried and failed to seduce Dean Wetter, But on Saturday, she finally landed her man as the two tied the knot. Just listen to the cornball phrasing of that story. Who would read that and not want to go and brush their teeth at least, maybe have a shower? Okay, names, Ann Wilson, Ann 112, Wilson 652. So a lot of two quality. 764, 4 Destiny. 4 Destiny, you don't change. And also Ann, the 112, the 1, a self-perspective. Self-perspective, the 2s, you're drawn to the opposite sex, and you don't change. Alright, that all fits. The person she wanted but couldn't get, Dean, 696, so he's balanced in the first name. So when you're balanced, you're not particularly drawn to an unbalanced person, let me tell you. His last name, Wetter, W-E-T-T-E-R, 191. Well, another 191, but also the extreme independence of that one. And then his total, 797 total. There's just simply no way that this guy wants to be anywhere near her and doesn't have numbers almost at all that relate to her. Wilson said of Wetter, who works on multi-generational communities, "He is my friend, my angel, my husband. I am truly happy." And I say, I doubt it. Someone with so much two quality as she has will not be happy. Just as simple as that. You always have doubt with the two. You have self-doubt. You have doubt about everything and every relationship, everything that's happening, everything that's happened in the past. It doesn't go away just because you get married. The 7 is the romantic number. Taylor Swift, Taylor 731. The 7, they want the white horse. Well, Ann Wilson got her white horse. And that'll be good for a couple of years. The media doesn't care. This is perfect for the media. They're like, awesome. We can refer to this for the next 6 months. Next story. Police sit down with NFL prospect after pregnant woman's murder. Lael Collins is a suspect in the shooting of Brittany Mills, age 29, that happened on Friday night in the doorway of her Baton Rouge home. All right, let's look at the person that got shot. Brittany, B-R-I-T-T-N-E-Y, 595. That's the kind of person that gets shot. Mills, 922. Total, 527. Accident, looking for a place to happen. She found it. It found her. What about the footballer? Lael Collins, 663, first name 663, last name 336 total. When I saw that, I was like, this guy didn't do it. Well, I haven't got the link, but it turned out, you know, there's been an update that this guy's not even a suspect, but they, you know, they want to talk to him type thing. And then I had heard he pulled back from the NFL draft just to deal with this, and I've heard some somewhat conflicting things about this story, but bottom line is this guy is, I just don't think he did it, and I don't even think he's a suspect at this point. But initially, look how they put it. They seek a sit-down with NFL prospect after pregnant woman's murder. The media putting that right in the headline. So you're an NFL prospect, and you get, 2 words later, pregnant woman's murder. Great. I do know his cycle, Lael Collins' cycle. He's born July 26, 1993, 784-401. So, I mean, the one is that honest quality. He's in a 6-cycle, 3-9 month. Well, 3-9 month, the 9 is indefinite, the 3 disappointment, the latter half. You got all that, right? By the way, now he's in a 4-1 month this month, but things should clarify around June when he's in a better month. Next story. Tattoos found to interfere with Apple Watch sensors. You know when you scour the internet for stories, which I do now multiple times per day, trying to find a needle in a haystack in the sense of I'm looking for a story where I have all the information. That in itself is very hard and very rare. And then I'm looking for a story that's beyond the hype, beyond the obvious, beyond the, yeah, we're covering the same subject as 1,000 other people. Well, here's a subject that is the subject that's literally being covered by 1,000 other people, the Apple Watch. Has more fuss ever been made about a more useless product? It's a watch. You stick it on your wrist. You can buy one for $4, probably for $1 at the dollar store. What is the big deal? You could spend up to $10,000 for something that's worth $1 for its timekeeping function. And the point is it needs a phone to be present for it to do basically most of its other functions. So what the heck? So from this story, oh, this was a funny comment someone left on Slashdot. I've got 2 funny or unusual comments here related to this story about this obviously ridiculous and useless product. Here's a funny one. I'm sure fellow readers are concerned about the $10,000 version of the Apple Watch. And as an early adopter, I am truly livid. If the watch comes in contact with my tattoo of the spirit of ecstasy riding a diamond into Tatooine astride a golden dove, the sensors stop working entirely. The watch is also difficult to locate, as I'm sure most people have undoubtedly found out. I had to search all 5 bedrooms on the yacht just to find the darn thing. Also, the watch has difficulty determining if or when I am wearing the rare jade oriental pendant of everlasting immortality. And just last weekend, I had to buy a new one after I bumped into the caviar chafing dish and spilled lemon rocher truffle remoulade on the band. It's not that Apple doesn't make an excellent product, they truly do. But I, for one, am getting tired of having to take the same Bentley to the same helicopter every other week to send my manservant into the Apple Store, as the common people call it, to have it replaced. A man can only tolerate so much car champagne before the aftertaste of the locks, commingling with the Alsace vintage, becomes too much to bear. Oh, that's wonderful stuff. And this was the signature of the guy who wrote this. The signature is where you have a small amount of space and you put a quote in often. One of the interesting things Slashdot did as a result, no doubt, of giving people too much chance to express themselves in their signatures is they limited the size of the signature. It's greatly limited. It's basically limited to a long sentence, total. Here's his short sentence. Good people go to bed earlier. Isn't that great? Interesting, his chat name, his username, Nimbius. N-I-M-B-I-U-S 336. It's a balanced name. You know, you use a balanced name, this is what you create. You create something that's memorable, it's uplifting, it's funny, and then you have a thoughtful quote in your signature. You make a positive dent in the universe when you have balance. Next story, Ohio State band instructor charged with kidnapping rape. A drum major instructor for Ohio State's marching band is accused of sexually assaulting a woman in his home. He was arraigned Thursday. Christopher S. Kitchen, age 28, who goes by his middle name of Stewart, was arrested Wednesday. He did not enter a plea and was expected to be released on bail. All right, so his name is Christopher Stewart Kitchen. When you work all that out, he has a 459 total. But let's look at some of his individual names. He has a first name, Christopher, of 224. Not at all constructive. To his people, for his tests. I think we saw 224 earlier. Jose, the guy cleaning the oven who gets trapped in it, 224. Last name, Kitchen, 527. Accident looking for a place to happen. And then a 459 total, very discordant total. And we've seen the 459 today, earlier. In fact, I think the guy who had the 224 also had a 459 total. As Stuart Kitchen, they say that's how he goes. He has a 235 total, 5 destiny. Great. You know, once again, just basically no good numbers. And enough 7 around that you're so misunderstood, especially by women, that you often will then later, you'll resort to desperate things. And basically crazy things. But while I was reading the story, I reviewed the stories and sort of sorted them today earlier. As soon as I saw the band instructor and doing these crazy things, here is my thought. Imagine being a band instructor. My father was very musical. And he never had any respect for band instructors, but in particular, there was a man, Mr. Duckett, in the school that I went to, the middle school, you'd call it, the junior high. The band teacher was Mr. Duckett. Duckett is 821. He was a man with no subtlety. He was a man that was all noise and metal. If you're not careful, a band, there's a lot of metallic instruments. They make metallic sounds, especially that cymbal sound. It's really easy to be really loud and really harsh and really artificial and non-harmonious, especially in a band. You know, you're trying to be loud. And the rhythm of a band, you know, that's all very well for the army. It's all very well when you're marching onto the field and people are going, ooh, you're marching onto the field. But it has nothing to do with music. Well, there's even something else. Imagine you are this instructor. And the joy of your life is, in your music class, you are surrounded by people who don't know how to play music. This is by definition. They're in high school, and even if, let's say, there's one person in your class of 20 who's a genius at music, let's say there's 5 people who are really good, they are playing with 14 people who are really bad. Guess which one you hear? When you play and you have a bunch of people playing and someone's off key or holds the note too long or does a raspberry sound on the trumpet, what do you hear? You hear the discord. So imagine then this job of being a band instructor. It's loud and it's discord. Imagine being around loud discord all day. The whole band notion, it's a big part of what is wrong with America. One time I was coming back from a rock climbing weekend And I was giving people a lift, and we pulled into a McDonald's. This was in Washington State. Pulled into a McDonald's just for a pit stop, used the bathroom, whatnot. And you could tell by the night lights that right off the interstate was a large stadium. You could tell there was a night game, probably a football game. And we get into the McDonald's parking lot, which is just a few blocks away. And everyone is clearly very excited and buzzing. And I just go open the door, and I just see all these people and take in the scene. And I just went, "Who won?" And the first group of people that heard me say that said, "We did." Well, you know, a band is about as subtle as that. One produces the other. There's nothing wrong with winning. There's nothing wrong with being caught up in a good football game. But that's how simple it is, too. At its best, the band is simple. At its worst, it's harsh, bad for your ears, promoting something useless. Other than learning to play an instrument, and you know, when you learn to play the tuba, where do you use that later in life? There's no piano in a band, which is, you know, something you could use, right? There's no guitar in a band, something you could use. What instrument in a band could you use later in your life? Fascinating. Maybe the clarinet. Next story. Apple and IBM to bring iPads to 5 million elderly Japanese. Well, you know, those Japanese are always pretty progressive. This was a story on itworld.com. By the way, what group of people lived the longest? The longest average lifespan. Japanese? In the high 70s. So isn't it smart to give them iPads? This is genius. We're going to see them systematically picking off groups of people. This is fantastic. The seniors are bored. The iPad gives them something to do. They can stream a movie. They don't have to go down to the lounge and stare at TV along with everybody else, which is all stereotypical garbage that doesn't happen, but they don't have to stare at the TV in their room that they can't easily adjust or whatever. They can have this tablet right in front of them. When you make it easy, people use it. I'm sure the people giving out these iPads, they get monitoring abilities from them, and you can put apps on there, and it's all wireless radiation. This is genius. Get us all onto those pads, boy. And get us on early, because otherwise we're going to live to our high 70s. I was watching a commercial for a chemical called Invocana. One of these meaningless product names that just simply makes me want to research it and get the story. First of all, you don't even know what it does. I think there was something in the small text down in the corner which gave me an idea what it was. The chemical name that's in this Invocana, the chemical compound is canagliflozin. And that's not really the chemical name, that's the trade name. All right, this is an inhibitor of subtype 2 sodium glucose transport protein, which is responsible for at least 90% of the glucose reabsorption in the kidney. This is kind of clever. Okay, you got too much sugar in your bloodstream, right? This is for diabetics. Well, it turns out that in your kidneys, when you have too much sugar in your urine, which is pretty common with diabetics, it turns out your kidneys reabsorb the sugar. Beats. So rather than working on your sugar intake, they come up with a product, a chemical, to modify your body and how your body works to stop this protein from reabsorbing the sugar. So this is medical science at its most clever, right? Well, this thing inhibits protein. Let's say you have someone on the other sports team and you want them to not be as effective on the basketball court. What can you do? What are some of your options? Well, the main one is you can inhibit them. You can injure them. There was a guy, by the way, who a week or two ago, he grabbed the other guy's arm and then torqued it in such a way that he dislocated his shoulder or worse. And the guy is basically gone. I mean, he went straight to the locker room. This guy got a whopping suspension of one game. He had to take one game off. He assaulted somebody and damaged their career. To me, I just see like $1 million. He should get a consequence that's $1 million. Well, there's no way that one game off is $1 million. That's probably 10 times too small, maybe 20, 30, 50 times too small. There should be a thing where you get fined and then the fine goes to the guy you injured. It should be like $1 million should have changed hands from the guy who did the injury to the guy who got injured. Bang. So if you want to inhibit something, you just need to injure it. So when you think about this product from that point of view, this product is not amazing or interesting, really. It's a toxin. It's a poison. Let's have a look at its chemical formula. It's C24. That means it has 24 carbons, H25, 25 hydrogens, O5, 5 oxygens, a sulfur, and a fluoride. This is a fluorinated compound. Blocking this transporter causes about 100 grams of blood glucose per day to be eliminated through the urine, corresponding to 450 calories. Additional water is eliminated by osmotic diuresis, resulting in a lowering of blood pressure. That's a lot of sugar, by the way. 100 grams, that is a ton of sugar. This is for someone that's already... I'm not a doctor, I'm just theorizing. This is for someone that's already, like, seriously ill. I mean, to give you an idea, you look at a regular chocolate bar, whatever, might be like 12, 15 grams of sugar, and then a healthy one might be 6. So the delta between a healthy and an unhealthy bar might be, let's say, at the most, 10 grams of sugar. So to save 100 grams in a day, that's like saving, that's like changing from 10 unhealthy chocolate bars to 10 healthy ones, or, you know, it's a big difference. So from the simplistic Western medicine point of view, this product makes a big difference. I don't have any doubt about it. How does it do it? It assaults your body, it changes your body, it attacks a protein. Do you think there might be any lasting consequences of that? When all you got to do is cut out the sugar. When you cut out sugar, do you know what happens? You spend less money on sugar. That's like the first thing that happens. Bang, right off the bat. The second thing is that after a few days, you don't miss it. The third thing is you lose a ton of weight. I did it about 8 months ago. Went off sugar as much as possible. I am now 10 pounds lighter than I was 8 months ago. Or you can assault your body as a way to fix it. The lunacy of Western medicine. All right, next story. Paul Hudak. I guess this guy was a programmer. He created a language. Haskell was the language. And he passed away at a relatively young age, age 62. We got all his info. Let's have a look at his name and his birthday. First of all, he's born on July 15, 1952. So his birthday number is a 768 for a 3. If you're a 3, you would never go into programming. Well, let's have a look at his name, because his name is compelling him to follow the name qualities. Is there any, like, technical numbers in the name? You know, like, say, the 4 quality? That would be the programming number, right? Let's see. Paul, first name, 415. Well, there it is in the first name. What about the last name, Hudak? 459, 865, total 5 destiny. Well, programming is a very 4-ish activity, and also the 5, the analysis, right? With programming, you can get something working, and it can be kind of crappy, kind of slow. The 5 is the quality that thinks, how can I make it faster? Through ingenuity. Anyway, let's get back to this guy. The point is that he's a 3 in the birthday. He shouldn't even be programming. He gets pushed into it by his name with all these 4s around. And the 4 is the cancer number. He died after a long battle with leukemia. Leukemia is a type of cancer. One other thing, he died this year, 2015. What cycle was he in this year? 4 cycle, the cancer cycle. Next story, there was a boxing match last night, and the guy that nobody wanted to win won. There's so many ways to come at this story. Some people refused to comment at all because they were so disgusted by the backstory of one of the boxers. Tremendously hyped, $400 million supposedly associated with this fight. Gonna save boxing. And SportsCenter had anchors, all kinds of anchors at Vegas, hanging out there, broadcasting live. You know, ESPN is based in the east of the U.S., and Vegas is in the west. These people flew across the country times, what, 100 people? I'm sure the entourage of ESPNers was all the technical people and everything. I bet you there was at least 50 people in Vegas for a week, right? Now, maybe that's like a holiday to these people. I don't know. What can we say, right? Let's look at the names. And in particular, let's look at Floyd Mayweather, because I guess this guy has a history of domestic violence and whatnot. So Floyd Mayweather Jr. was not born with that name at all. He was born Floyd Joy Sinclair. Sinclair, the last name, the family name, 134. Well, the 134, the 1, that's that physical, you know, hard physical number. The 4, when you have the 1 and the 4 together, you don't have a compassionate person. When you work out his full name, 448 total. Well, 4-ish last name, and a 448 total. The 4 is the muscle number. That's one thing you got to say about boxing. It is a muscle sport. Absolutely. Almost totally. And you look at them, they always look just so... They don't look muscle-bound. They don't look like a bodybuilder, but they're close. They're as close as they want to get to being a steroidal muscle builder, but not quite at that level. Mayweather was born February 24, 1977, so he's 266 for a 5. He's in an 8-year, and then when he was getting all the heat leading up to this fight, he was in a 5-4 month, a test month. But the fight took place Saturday, the 2nd of May, and he was in an 8-5 day of a 6-5 month of an 8-year. Perfect, good cycles, and 5-ish too. and so he wins. By the way, he does have a good first name, Floyd, but, you know, as we've seen many times, you can have a good name and a bad name, or two bad names and a good total, or whatever. It doesn't matter. You've got to have balance, and where you don't have balance, it's like the music, the band. You can have three great musicians, but if you have three people that are playing off key all the time and playing sour notes, that's what you hear. I talked about watching The Imitation Game last week or the week before. Great movie. And I've actually rewatched it already. I've watched it three times already. Hang on, Pete's again. The Imitation Game is one of these rare movies where everything is done just right. Everything. How Keira Knightley acted. Perfect. Of course, Cumberbatch was excellent, superb, awesome. But the directing, how it's filmed, the realism, it's convincing. It flows. It doesn't lecture or belabor or get annoying. There's so much purpose and stealth and, that's not the word, so much purpose and progression in the movie. Just a little bit of trivia, so this Turing did run into this girl and was engaged to marry her. Joan Clark was the real person's name. Wikipedia has an entry, let's have a look. Joan Clark was born June 24, 1917. So the question is, would this Joan Clark be good at math, right? Let's find out, because here's the numbers that would be good at math problems. The 4. The 4 is the science number. The 4 is a number that thinks very deliberately and systematically about things. To get good at math, yeah, you do need to be 5-ish and fast, but you need to be 4-ish and methodical and slow. It's like you need a 4-ish foundation for math, and then you need some quickness. So let's look for 4s and 5s. But the other thing is, to be doing this kind of work, code breaking, first of all, it's 7-ish. It's kind of secretive. Also, it's an intellectual exercise. So you would look for the 6 quality. So basically 4, 5, 6, 7. Those are the numbers you'd look for. The more shallow numbers are 1, 2, 3. We're not looking for those. So does she have 4, 5, 6, 7? Well, it turns out that's all she's got. Joan, 7, 6, 4. Clark, last name, 6, 8, 5. There it is right there. 4, 5, 9 total. 9 destiny. The 9 is a specialist, and in this case, specializing in a technical way. What about her birthday? She's born, you know, June 24th, 1917, 668 for a 4. We've seen people like, I think it was Max Planck, and quite a few of these people in the physics biz are, I think Faraday was a 4. They're either 4s or 5s under 4s, and this kind of thing. Very common. Well, here's someone, 6s and 4s. Exactly the numbers you'd expect to be a good code breaker. To be a bright bulb, as they say. Next story, interesting story. I think I read it yesterday or the day before. Woman quits $95,000 job to move to an island and sell ice cream, comma. The internet cheers. Another sleaze story from today.com. Half the story is about the internet reaction and people discussing it, and isn't it incredible? Someone's following their dream, yada yada. Let's get to the details. Who's the person? Noelle Hancock. She's a journalist. She began to feel disenchanted 4 years ago. It's ironic to feel lonely on an island of 4 million people, but it seemed I spent my life staring at screens, laptop, cell phone, iPad. Heck, even the taxis and elevators had televisions in them. I felt stressed, uninspired, and disconnected. Well, here's the thing. I spend my life looking at screens, and I don't feel stressed, uninspired, or disconnected. I like doing that. So you have to have numbers that don't like doing that or want to be doing something else. Let's look for them. The first thing is, when you go to an island, you look for the 7 quality. You want to be by yourself. You want to get away from people. So this is a 7-ish person wanting to get away from people and probably having a destiny that is in harmony with that desire to be alone. Let's have a look. Noelle, 729. Well, there's the 7. And that's a strong chunk of 7 there because the 9 adds power to it. By the way, the 7 can also be a journalist. What's the last name, Hancock? 731. Okay, she's got a double dose of 7, more journalism number. Add it together, she got a 551 total, 1 destiny. Well, it's a hell total. Also, when you have the 5 in the position it's in, the total soul, the top number in the total, that's how you look at the future. Well, this person's looking at the future 5-ishly, which is unstable. The 5 wants change. This person wants change when they look into the future. Well, when you go from a cushy $95,000 a year job to serving ice cream on an island, figuratively, she's now changed careers and doing something else there, by the way. She now works as a bartender, they say. But when you do that kind of change, that's the 5 talking. So she wanted to be by herself, that's the 7. She wants to make a major change, that's the 5. Now, what about her destiny? Does that back up all this change and independence? 1 destiny. The 1 is the quality that stands alone. It's better at standing alone than any other number. Oh dear. And the internet cheers. Useless media. Well, I guess I'm making the media useful. There's an update. Orioles owner's son calls out elitists for destroying the economy, militarizing police as riots ravage Baltimore. So I guess this person who had an opinion about the activities this last week in Baltimore, one of the things that happened was there was a baseball game that they canceled the game, and then the next day they played the game in a different stadium, or they played it in a stadium where they didn't allow any fans inside. They didn't want a riot, they didn't want the protest, and so they played a game with no fans. They set a record. The previous record had been 6 fans, and now they had 0. Alright, so this guy, John Angelos, is the executive VP of Major League Baseball's Baltimore Orioles, and the son of the owner. In a series of tweets, he let his feelings be known. And in this story, they string together the tweets, so I'll sort of scan or read them as one thing. Speaking for myself, I guess he's referring to somebody else. I agree with your point that the principle of peaceful nonviolent protest, the observance of the rule of law, is of utmost importance. Talks about various leaders having preached, nonviolence. That said, my greater source of personal concern, outrage, and sympathy beyond this particular case is focused neither upon one night's property damage nor upon the acts, but is focused upon the past 4-decade period during which an American political elite have shipped middle-class and working-class jobs away from Baltimore, well, away from America, and cities and towns around the U.S. to third-world dictatorships like China, plunged tens of millions of good, hard-working Americans into economic devastation, and then followed that action around the nation by diminishing every American's civil rights protections in order to control an unfairly impoverished population living under an ever-declining standard of living and suffering at the butt end of an ever more militarized and aggressive surveillance state. Wow. He says more, but really, that says it all in one paragraph. So, there's some honesty there, right? It's one of those things that very rarely happens. Let's catch the name. John Angelos. We're looking for the one quality, right? That's the honesty. John 652. The thing with the John, the 652, the 2 is understanding, and the 6 is balanced. So this guy has a reasonable, balanced understanding of the situation. He isn't knee-jerk. He isn't just on one side. But let's look at the last name, Angelos, A-N-G-E-L-O-S, 371. There's the one. And by the way, 933 total, 3 destiny. When you have 3 destiny, you tweet about it so everyone can read, right? You don't just have a thought rolling around in your own brain. Good for you, John. You're exactly on point. Notice he doesn't blame the people or the cops. It has nothing to do with them at all. All right, another person passed away this past week. Dave Goldberg. He dies suddenly at age 47. There's no details, no cause of death. They don't have his birthday. We do have his name. First of all, dying at 47, that's dying too young. Right away, you're going to look at name numbers, for sure. So he's called Dave Goldberg, Dave 685, Goldberg 257. Now, the 257 we talked about is a very weak combination. These people are sickly. When you look at a 257, that's a sickly individual. They're not healthy, they're not vital, they're not strong. They're suffering through most of their life. They have a picture of this guy. You can look, if you click on this link, you can see the picture of the guy. He doesn't look particularly healthy. So a total of 2 names, 843 to all 3 destiny. Well, 3 destiny is pretty healthy, right? But he's not Dave. He's born David. David 134. And with that 257 last name, 382 total, 2 destiny. Again, the 2 is not vital, strong, or anything like that. 134, first name, very unhealthy, discordant. Physically, you got a cancer number in the first name. I'm just looking at David Goldberg. Is there a single number? There's one number out of 6 positions that would be considered healthy. Wow. And with the other name, the nickname Dave Goldberg, there's 1 number out of 6 positions that would be considered healthy. Once again, they carefully ignore cause, right? They just list the statistic, a guy died. Who cares? People are dying every day. Tens of thousands of people die every day. Get us the cause or don't bother. Next story. Suspect's arrest for kayak drowning murder of fiancé. An absolute surprise, say former father-in-law. On April 19, Angelica Graswald reported that Vince Villafor, age 46, was missing after claiming he disappeared when his kayak capsized. Graswald was in another kayak, and she claimed she tried to rescue him and ended up in the water herself before being pulled to safety. Although Vince Villafor's body has not been found, Graswald was charged 11 days later with his murder. If you hypothetically are going to murder someone, would you do it while the two of you are kayaking? Is that how you do it? I don't think so. Not at all. First of all, if you're kayaking, that's healthy. You get a buzz from it. If the two of you kayak on a regular basis, you're doing something healthy. That in itself points to you guys being in love with life, like being happy, having similar interests. Why can't it be exactly like she says? Let's look at her name. Angelica 786. Well, the seven loves nature. 786, the six balances the seven, brings out the seven. Graswald, 224 last name. That's not a good last name. And in total of her two names, 911 total, one destiny. By the way, Vince, Villafor. Vince is 538. That's a very strong, powerful name. I'm sorry, but if I'm a girl who's inherently, on average, weaker than a guy, and I have a guy with a very strong, confident personality like a Vince, I'm not going to try and get rid of him on a kayak trip. That makes no sense. You're going to use a weapon. You need an advantage. I just don't agree with any part of this story, and I don't think that she did this. But what I do sort of conclude is this is the persecution that happens when you have a bad name. When you have a not at all constructive last name and a one destiny, that tough physical destiny, this is what you attract in your life. Next story, Ruth Rendell dies. I guess she was a crime fiction writer. Isn't it kind of pathetic when the newspapers fill with the passing of a crime fiction writer? So this is a person who writes meaningless stuff. Not a single thing she writes has any value to life whatsoever. It's all fiction, it's all fake. It's all redirection, it's all misdirection, it's all distraction. A writer of distraction died. Who cares? They know. They know this is important. They want to keep this going, right? Keep this distraction going. By the way, she died when she was 85, so it's not news, right? But let's look at the cycle and the numbers just to see, can we point a finger? She was born February 17, 1930. 284. She's a 5 in the birthday. In 2015, she was in one cycle. January, she had a stroke in January, was a 4-5 month. And the day she had it was a 2-6 day. The 2 is the fluids. So, you know, it's not a particularly significant story or because this person was so old, but it's all consistent with the numbers. There's no inconsistency there. I think she even has a 2 destiny, which again would be the fluids, 472 total. So she has fours, two different fours in her name, and a test related to the fluids, right? So she has a stroke. Next story. This one I read about yesterday, but I think it happened several days ago. Grady Jarrett's house caught fire one day before the Falcons drafted him. So this is a guy who's being drafted by the NFL. He's, you know, young college player, and your house catches fire. They say his house, and they don't go out of their way to correct it, but it's his parents' house, right? He's a student. Ah, dear. Maybe it doesn't sound as exciting when you say your parents' house catches fire. He was living there. So Grady Jarrett, which is the name he was born with, was born on April 28, 1993. So he's 4-1-4 for a 9. He's in a 5 cycle. May is a 3-8 month of a 5-year, and the first was a 4-7 day. So he's in a test day, a 4 day, of a 5 cycle. And a 5 cycle says you'd have many experiences, many of them bitter experiences, and a lot of change. Well, he's going to get all of that because he lost his possessions in the fire. You know, Grady, the first name, 191. You can't accumulate when you have too much of that one quality around. There he is, losing all his possessions in a fire. When was the last time you lost all of your possessions? I've never at any time in my life lost all of my possessions. At one point, thanks to my first wife, I had to get rid of most of my possessions. I could have sold them or given them away or whatever. But that was just simply, you know, a survival step. They weren't taken away by a fire or a robbery or a flood. Still, Grady Jarrett, 3 destiny. You know, they say about the 3 destiny, the 3 quality in general, but especially the 3 destiny, you know, fortunate but not stable. Ups and downs. Like in this case, he's fortunate. He never got injured in the fire. His life wasn't in danger. But he lost all his stuff and he has to move out. It's just exactly consistent with his name and the cycle he's in. Alright, story from yesterday. Now get to my of the weeks. Maybe you should rethink that daily aspirin. This is from NPR.org. I think that's National Public Radio? Packet Radio? I don't know. NPR is one of these things, as you know, a lot of people like NPR, but I can't stand the radio. Just in general. I'd rather listen to a podcast. I'd rather listen to an audio book. Those are the ones that get me through driving the best. And when you're at home, who listens to the radio at home? You know, there was a time 40 years ago when we did that, but it's not very common these days. So the survey published in the American Journal of Preventative Medicine, well, that's hilarious in itself. The idea that any entity in America wants to prevent illness is truly humorous. Any large, official, standard Western medical folly organization, the last thing they want to do is prevent illness. They want to profit from it, period. Anyway, they found that 52% of people aged 45 to 75 are taking aspirin daily or every other day. And about half those people, 47%, are taking it even though they have never had a heart attack or stroke. Quote, "That's very controversial in the medical community," says Craig Williams, a pharmacologist at Oregon State University who led the study. Well, how can it be controversial? We've heard this recommendation forever. For literally decades and decades, they've been telling us, yeah, and take a baby aspirin, half an aspirin every day, it's good for you. So is it any surprise that half the population is doing this when you've been pushing this propaganda on us for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? Quote, "Aspirin thins the blood and can help prevent blood clots. But long-term use of the drug also increases the risk of ulcers, gastrointestinal bleeding, and bleeding in the brain." I don't know. Do you want that? I don't particularly want that. Everyone agrees that for people who have already had a cardiac event, the benefits outweigh the risks. Well, I don't agree. If you've had an event, change your life, change your lifestyle. Stop eating the wrong foods, get more exercise, look after your elimination, drink a lot of healthy water, and you will leave whatever your event was, you will leave it in the past, in the dust. You don't need a lifetime of chemical dependency. It's just ludicrous. But for most other people, the chance that aspirin will prevent a first heart attack is about equal to the chance that it will cause harmful side effects. So at best, it's a break even. And they've been recommending this for 50 years. Wow, man. Just as a comment I had when I was reading this story yesterday, I just say, people thinking that drugs are a good thing, that just boggles my mind. Where do you get that from? Where did that brainwashing start, and how did that soak into people? I think it just shows that this is the kind of thing that happens every day. There's this kind of drug brainwashing everywhere, all the time, every day. And people just get used to it. It's like you got a problem, you take a pill. Amazing. Gonna get to my of the weeks. Bad driver of the week. I would argue that our nation has a low tolerance for fatalities associated with airplanes. In part because of that, fatalities are very, very low from aircraft. Also, in part because of that, the FAA has close to 50,000 employees. An order of magnitude more employees than we do. This is an engineer, I think an auto engineer, and the name of his article that appeared in the New Yorker was called "The Engineer's Lament." This is a great story, recommended, especially if you're at all engineering inclined, but really a great story. Quoting again from it. "We have 600 people. I think he was like in the Ford recall office. So this is the division or the part of the Ford Motor Company where you deal with recalls. You deal with problems, and then having to recall some of your vehicles some of the time to fix these problems. We have 600 people to deal with 10,000 people who are dying from drunk driving, or 10,000 dying because they didn't wear a seatbelt, or the 3,000 dying from distracted driving, or the 4,000 dying because they are pedestrians or bicyclists and they are hit by a car. That's why the administration has been asking Congress for more resources for us. With more resources, we can save more lives, and each time the answer from Congress has been no." Well, you know, you don't need more money to save lives. You need different priorities from corporations. That's where the rubber hits the road. Oh, and the guy who quoted that was a different guy, but this article focused around another guy, Denny Gioia. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It has four vowels in a row. G-I-O-I-A. Gioia, who worked at Ford's recall office. This guy, Denny Gioia, literally looking for accidents that might be more likely to happen. What is his name? 5'38", first name. Well, that'd be a very confident, very analytical, five-ish name. And yeah, attracting its share of accidents and chaotic experiences. But the last name, Gioia 775, accident looking for a place to happen. And a total of his two names, 314 total, four destiny. All the four is that technical and also, you know, problems, tests, hardworking destiny. So there he is, literally looking for accidents that might happen or are actually happening. This guy called them traceable cause. So they're looking for traceable cause. If you can trace the cause, then you can fix it. You can decide, do we recall? What I found really interesting in reviewing this story, the strategy that companies take when they find the problem, the one thing that's missing is they don't get the information out there. That's the one thing that's needed. When Toyota had their issue with their Priuses and whatnot, they didn't get the information out there. What's actually going on? And in many cases, and you know, the Toyota Prius one and the Ford Pinto one, those are the extreme cases. It turned out there were many vehicles that were exactly like the Ford. They had the gas tank outside of the rear axle, closer to the bumper than the rear axle, so not protected by the axle. And this is what made it susceptible to being, you know, blasted open kind of thing. It's just the Ford got picked on by the media. So we have these, you know, well-known stories, but they're meaningless, really. Again, the rubber hitting the road is the majority of stories that we never hear about. The minor recalls, or for every recall, it's like the tip of an iceberg, right? There's 9 recalls that should have happened, or there's 9 times when people should have been given information. Here's a heads up. This device is not working quite like we intended when we designed it. Doesn't qualify as something that we have to do a recall about, but we just wanted to let you know. This is how it's working, and it's not quite right, so make some allowances. The legal system in America so dominates everything that people die more because of the legal system. In fact, way more, because people are afraid to admit any liability. They're afraid to talk about any problem, because otherwise people will latch on to that and say, yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. Give me some money. So it's kind of pathetic, and it's the state of our world today, but a very good article. Highly recommended read. Re-listen of the week, you know, I've been under the weather this last week. I'm getting better, but still a little bit under the weather, mostly having a hard time sleeping, which is not much fun. One little tip there is cool your eyes. Have like a wet cloth when you get up in the middle of the night. I bathe my eyes when I get up. I just splash cold water on them. But also just rest a cold, wet cloth on your eyes when you're in bed. The cool thing is if it's wet is the water in the cloth will evaporate, and it's called evaporative cooling. That will automatically cool the cloth. You don't need ice. The cloth will be colder than the room, colder than your body, just because it has water in it that's evaporating. And so every time you get up, just, you know, wet the cloth and put it on your eyes. I did that last night, and I wasn't quite able to get back to sleep. I got up a little earlier than normal, but it really helped my eyes, and it felt really good. So, re-listen-wise, just trying to get through the days. Some of these days have been kind of overly challenging, and been listening to a little bit of music, going back to some of the classic bits of music that I like. You know, you have to sometimes adopt survival strategies just to get through a period of time. Reread of the week. I started reading The Sugar Fix. This is a relatively new book, 3 years old. And I got this sort of as a freebie. Someone has like one of these lending libraries where if you see something you like, help yourself kind of thing. And impulsively grabbed it and I thought that'll be interesting maybe. And I'm just sort of scanning through it. And there's not necessarily a lot new, but still, it's like a good subject to keep reminding yourself about. This guy talks about giving advice to people. Hey, why don't you try cutting out the sugar? One of his friends, this guy was very athletic and everything else, and he was just having all these health problems. He gives up sugar. He was saying some of these people, they give up sugar, and in 6 weeks, they've lost 20 pounds. Really kind of amazing. Rewatch of the week. I watched this a couple of weeks back. It's called Certain Adverse Events. It's a 2009 documentary. And it's about antibiotics called fluoroquinolones. They are fluorine or fluoride-containing antibiotics. What is an antibiotic? It kills things, right? Well, we just talked earlier about fluoride compounds killing a protein, right? That protein was reabsorbing sugar. So for diabetics, if you don't reabsorb the sugar, then you're better off. In this case, you're killing the bacteria in the body, right? So supposedly you need to do this. Well, of course, these are overprescribed. These fluoroquinolones, these are the last line of defense. They're the most toxic, the strongest. And I guess people go to the doctor and routinely get these things prescribed to them. This is a really good documentary. The impact of these drugs on people, really horrific. The thing about fluoride is it's cumulative. It's like lead. When you ingest lead, it's a cumulative poison, a cumulative problem. Well, fluorine is very much that way. And in fact, really, when you look at it, a lot of problems are like this. Even microwave radiation, people are finding, is like that. Once you've been exposed to too much microwave radiation, you now are sensitive after that. It's like I injured one of my ears, punctured the eardrum some years back. Well, that ear is always sensitive. It's always an issue. So these fluoroquinolones, oh dear. When you check this out, man, you will think twice. You will think twice. And these people, again, were blindly prescribed these antibiotics like they were nothing. They were given no special warnings, nothing. Very good documentary. Cool and uncool thing of the week. Uncool. Fury rises at Disney over use of foreign workers. This is in the IT, the Information Technology Department of Disney. Hundreds of people there have lost their jobs to foreign workers. And it seems like most of them are from India. Disney says only 135 people have lost their jobs. Well, you know, tech jobs tend to be very high paying. So 135 people who probably have expensive homes and big mortgages, they now are out on the streets, basically. This is at Disney. You know, that happy place that you take your kids to? Next time you're visiting Disney or even thinking about doing it, imagine your money going on a cargo steamer to India. And imagine hundreds of people in America being homeless and starving because of it. Do you really want to support that? I don't. Of course, there's nothing about Disney I respect. Disney has been a monopoly. A monopoly on supposed goodness. It's a very powerful, very large corporation, and boy, did they make lousy movies. They got into Toy Story early, but that was really the genius of young programmers, young animators, hardworking people that like Pixar and that. When you've seen what Disney has cranked out since then, whew, boy, cover your eyes. Normally I alternate uncool and cool, but I've got two uncools and just happened to be in a row, so I'm going to do the second one as well. This was on Wired. Darth Vader mask made out of bugs. Now, this is one of these things where if you don't think about it and you look at it and you go, well, that's pretty cool. I see how they did that. Well, this guy's mask required 150 insects to make the mask. Now, I'm going to bet that it required more than that. The final product had 150. Let's say this needed 200 insects because he has to choose, right? He has to have a palette, right? You always waste some paint when you paint. These are beautiful insects. These are not insects you find when they've already died and they've fallen into the dust ball in the corner of your living room. These are pristine, beautiful, healthy insects that have been killed so a guy can make a Darth Vader mask. Wow, what a world, man. Very uncool. The only good news on the Star Wars front is that the guy who was going to be the director of the next Star Wars never-ending series of banality, he has walked away from it. So that's a good bit of news there. Okay, cool thing of the week. Burger King stops advertising soda for kids and recommends fruit juice or milk instead. Well, how about water? I don't drink fruit juice, never have. I wasn't all that big of a milk drinker even, you know, decades ago. And then when you find out it's not good for you, it's like, well, that's easily left out. And who had money for soda? We sure didn't in our family. Our family was very poor. And, you know, we just didn't believe in soda. And the more you research those kind of subjects. Still, good for you, Burger King. Hang on, Pete. My read, extended read of the week. Widower reflects on wife's sacrifice to skip cancer treatment to save their baby. Fertility specialists and other doctors had told Joyce and his wife, I think that's his last name, Joyce, that getting pregnant would be impossible for Liz because multiple rounds of chemotherapy had left her infertile. I might as well analyze Liz. So the person who's getting the cancer in this story is Liz. Liz 922, Elizabeth, typical spelling 257, very weak combination, super sensitive, very sickly, not at all good combination. So that's the person who's got the cancer. So multiple rounds of chemo had left her infertile, but the joy they felt from their miracle pregnancy was tempered shortly later when, a month later, Liz felt a lump in the small of her back in the exact spot as her previous tumor. I think we both kind of knew right then, but we convinced ourselves that it was something else. A biopsy confirmed cancer. She was first diagnosed with cancer in 2010. Joyce promised to propose to her on the same day with a ring he quickly fashioned from aluminum foil. The couple got married a month later. She went through multiple rounds of chemo before and after they removed the tumor. She received a clean bill of health in 2011. Cancer returned 2 years later. We knew the risk we were taking. Liz had this incredible optimism and strength. They were worried if they terminated this pregnancy or do something to damage the fetus and then find out the cancer wasn't anywhere else. A small localized tumor that could be removed. If that happened, Liz loses the chance to bring a child into this world. So she underwent surgery to remove the mass in her back, but held off on further treatment until after the baby's birth. Because radiation from full-body MRI scans would harm the baby, she also had to wait to find out whether the disease had been contained to one area just like before. She spoke about her decision in a documentary that captured her pregnancy. The name of the documentary is 40 Weeks, and it also chronicled 12 other couples. There's never going to be anything in my life that I'm going to do that's going to be more amazing than this. It's so awesome to think that, she says in the film. It's the easiest thing I've ever done in my whole entire life, and it's the coolest and by far the most unbelievable thing that I will ever do. But shortly before the baby's scheduled delivery date, it became clear the cancer had spread. She had severe trouble breathing. Results from a shielded chest x-ray found the cancer all over one of her lungs. They immediately moved into action. On January 23rd of last year, she had a C-section. A child named Lily was delivered. And then they found cancer had spread to her ovaries, stomach, and beyond. It was everywhere. Joyce now recalls that period as one of the oddest times of my life. While Liz remained in the hospital for her cancer treatment, he brought Lily back home to the family's New York apartment. It was so bizarre to be at both extremes of the peaks and valleys, he said. I would go home and I would spend time with Lily, and it was the happiest moments of my life. Brought this beautiful creature into the world, and it was amazing. And then I'd go to the hospital to be with Liz, and it was like my world was ending. I felt guilty in both places. By the way, the quality that feels guilty when it doesn't really make sense. Two quality, and Joyce, this guy's last name, 246. Liz eventually came home and spent nearly 3 weeks there, but on March 3rd, she pulled her husband aside and told him, I can't do this. She didn't want to die at home. They went back to the hospital, and she passed away 6 days later. The documentary 40 Weeks was released in March. Joyce said he doesn't regret chronicling the journey. They gave us a chance to back out when Liz was diagnosed with cancer, but we thought no, because if it does turn out bad, we have this incredible documentation of what our life was like when we were getting ready to bring Lily into the world. On a really selfish level, I just love that Lily is going to get to see her mom exactly how I did when she gets older. Today, Joyce, age 34, said while he still experiences moments of absolute grief, his entire focus is on his daughter, whom he describes as a dream child. There's very little fussing, there's very little crying. Her sleeping patterns are great. Her eating is great. It's almost as if she knew that something really screwed up had happened and she took it easy on me, he said. I'm not going to give him too much of a hard time. I think he's been through a lot. It feels that way sometimes because it's remarkable how easy she is to deal with and be around. You know, once again, it's a feel-good story, kind of thing the media loves. It helps promote a documentary. It's very touching. A lot of caring, a lot of giving. You know, it's unusual for someone to basically sacrifice treatment for the sake of their child like that. But it doesn't get to cause. She had a very weak name, a sensitive name and a weak name, and it's the kind of name that you would expect to get cancer like this. Interesting, I don't know if she married and got his last name with Joyce. As Liz Joyce, you know, it's not healthy, and even as Elizabeth for Destiny, in fact, 494 total, the cancer total. So they gave the daughter the name of Lily. What about cancer with the Lily? Lily 944. Another cancer combination. Fact of the week. The United States is the only advanced economy in the world with an increasing number of women who die in childbirth. In fact, a woman giving birth in the U.S. is twice as likely to die than in Saudi Arabia, and three times as likely than in the United Kingdom. Isn't that something? Well, I'll do one more fact of the week. U.S. and European banks cut 59,000 jobs last year. 18 of Europe's biggest banks cut a combined 21,500 jobs last year. But that was less than half of the 56,000 jobs cut by the same banks in 2013. Six of the biggest U.S. banks cut a total of 37,000 jobs last year, and they've shed 45,000 since 2013. That means that more than 160,000 jobs have been cut across 24 banks in the past 2 years. The six U.S. banks shed 7% of the staff in the period. Banks, automation, boy, they love computers, man. This is a time when IT people at Disney get farmed out to India, and when people get their jobs cut. This is the time when you have tight times. The cuts are more palatable, right? The media doesn't make a fuss about it, and they sure don't make a fuss about banks doing anything, do they? My sugar-free food of the week. I thought I covered this. Apologies if I covered it already. The Cadbury or Reese Spreadables. Spreadables are these sugar-packed convenience foods. You have a little biscuit sticks that you dip into this goop. It's kind of like the Nutella. Nutella is, it's not enough to eat peanut butter. You got to have it with sugar added and chocolate flavoring added, so you'll want to eat it. And so then Cadbury and Reese got into this because, of course, Reese's peanut butter cups, that's chocolates and peanut butter, right? I went and looked. I was lined up at Walmart, and right behind me was the Impulse candy section, and they had these spreadables, and I thought, let's look at the sugar. I'm curious. And two-thirds or half of the product was sugar. Cost $1.50. It weighed like a feather. It'd be like the weight of one cherry or something. And it's high amount of calories. I want to say 150 calories. I don't remember the calories. But expensive and huge sugar hit. Could you eat anything worse? That's what I'd like to know. And then there was a story about s'mores. This s'more thing. When we were growing up, we sure as heck didn't have s'mores. We did have the odd bit of marshmallow, usually when we were camping. I never much cared for marshmallows, and sure as heck, as I got older, I couldn't stand them. And I don't know what I would have to be paid to eat a marshmallow. What a horrific taste. Why don't you just eat a sugar cube? So I wanted to find out, I was curious, what is the sugar in a s'more? Because everything about it is sugar, right? It turns out someone's, you know, done the calculation. There's 10 grams of sugar in a s'more. The Kind bars, the Strong and Kind bars that I've gone for these days, they have like 5 or 6 grams of sugar. So imagine twice the sugar of a Kind bar in a single s'more. That's one marshmallow, one cracker. Who eats these things with one cracker? And 1/6 of a chocolate bar. I bet you most people have 3 of them. So that'd be 3 marshmallows and probably double crackers each time. And I'm sure they finish off the chocolate bar. They don't just have, you know, part of a chocolate bar. When you work that out, that's a minimum of 30 grams of sugar, probably 40 or 50. And they say the daily maximum sugar should be 24. So you're doubling your sugar fix for the day just from eating your s'mores. My quote of the week. This is from an article titled, Dr. Oz has precisely the right level of wisdom and humility to move medicine forward. Well, isn't that the case, right? No wonder they're attacking him. So this has been Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com, doing a Floydcast number 64 for May the 4th, 2015. Good luck with your life. Take care.